confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions, that he was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says that's kind of the direction that we do it. We believe and confess. You know, so, you know, just saying things out of our mouth doesn't make anything happen. And just constantly, we have to believe it. Now, the one thing about the Word of God, and we're going to talk today about the message that I have today, which kind of ties into every, well, all of them tie together, I think, as we continue to go. But if we believe that this is the Word of God, you know, right now I have sitting on my desk three different pamphlets that I'm reading for three different things I bought. And I'm trying to read the instructions because that's what it says. Read these instructions before you use this. And in the past, I wouldn't do that. And as much as I've continued to preach and I keep hearing myself saying to everybody, this is like instructions that you get with something that you buy. And I kept getting the sense that, right, and that's why most people do with this the same thing they do with the instructions. Put them on the side and do what they think works. Yeah, so, you know, it's just a ladder. I mean, come on, you know, everybody know how to use a ladder, right? I mean, you know, it's just a date. Everybody know how to go on a date, right? It's just a this. You know, we live life the same way by not focusing on the instructions. So here we know this is the Word of God. So God says his word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It is the way that will get us where God wants us to be. Now, if we believe this to be the case, and then we're confessing this, then we have to realize that there's something that we're going to see about God that many times people will have him misunderstood, I think. We're going to start today in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verse 1 through 13, and then we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and then see if we can get into the message. All righty then. And think about everything going on in the world today. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, go with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll begin at verse 12. We're going to read verse 12 through 16. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art and hast also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I charge thee, or I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the returning or appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to come into your house. We thank you for the word of God. We accept it as your instructions to us, that Father, this is not advice, but that this is the command of the Lord. And therefore, Father, we will walk according to your precepts and your judgments, knowing that our failure to do so doesn't hurt anyone but ourselves. We pray today that we might, as we've confessed already, that we believe what has come out of our mouth, that you sent Jesus that we might be healed, healed spiritually, physically, and in every area of our lives. Father, we ask this word would minister to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, today I'm doing a message that's entitled, Strengthen Your Resolve. Strengthen your resolve. Now, the word resolve actually means a firm determination to do something, to decide firmly on a course of action. Today, I'm going to talk about strengthening your resolve. As believers, I think we need to understand, if you think about what we talked about last week, authentic spiritual warfare, and we talked about how when you look at what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, he said, we war not against flesh and blood. He said, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. He then said, take therefore the armor of God, the whole armor, that you might be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. And we said that this wasn't about having power encounters with the devil. We're not trying to talk about walking up and casting the devil out of people or the devil getting cast and all of that. We're not as concerned about that as we are about what we said last week, which was that the way we do authentic spiritual warfare is to live righteously through persevering faith based on the truth of the gospel. So what does God say in his word? What does he say? That is the truth. And we take our faith and apply it to that truth, and we keep living because we know it is so. Now, the problem with most people is that when things don't go the way they want, they use that as a reason to suggest the word isn't true. When God says, what people don't understand is that, look, I'm in charge of everything. People say, they look at the plan and say, well, God's not doing such a good job if he's in charge. And we keep telling people, God is allowing man to run his full course. So after he destroys himself and it's all done, we won't have no questions about what happens when people are allowed to take over. Okay? Between wars, disease, all the craziness that goes on the planet, that's what happens when people don't have God. And there's going to come a moment that then the real King of kings and Lord of lords will return physically to rule on the earth. He rules from heaven now, but he rules allowing a lot of this with the understanding that those in his kingdom, though, are no longer under the kingdom of the devil. And anything he allows to happen or lets happen many times is a form of God's chastening on his people. And he says it right there in his word. And he says that I want you to understand something. When this is going on, don't get upset because I'm chastening you. He says, because every son, he uses the term son, every child that comes to me gets chastened. Because you're just not all of that. None of us are. We come to God, we might think we're perfect. God's like, no, you're not. A lot of stuff wrong with us, a lot of attitudes we ain't got right, a lot of stuff. We might be sweet people, but still, God's like, we're not holy though. We're not like him. So God's like, look, now when you come to me, I'm going to have to start putting it to you a little bit and correcting you. And it doesn't mean he's going to, sometimes he can just speak to you. You know, I said last week, we have some of our children, we could just speak to them. Like yesterday, there were some of the kids, I could easily say, look, just sit down. Then the other one, you say, sit down, they look like you're crazy, go on. So then you have to say, look, come on now, I'm serious. Sit down. Maybe, maybe not. Well, God is going to deal with each of us depending on how he has, what he has to do. But he loves us all the same. But some of us, it takes a little more. The Bible says if you don't get chastened, you're like a bastard child. Now, the Bible used the term. I ain't going to change it. And a bastard child was a child that was born out of wedlock that didn't have a marriage, so to speak. You didn't know, so to speak, who your dad was in that sense. So that's what God, and God's like, look, y'all know who your daddy is. I'm your daddy. All right? Bottom line is, and I will not have you acting like you're acting without me doing what? Chastening you. So he says, so when the chastening starts, stop all that crying. Stop all that weakness. Get that look off your face. Like my mom used to say, this ain't no pity party. We ain't about to do that. Get that look off your face. The reason you got popped was because you was acting out when I told you to stop. So don't be looking like that now. God says, if you endure chastening, I'm dealing with you like children. So he says, hang in there. I know it don't look like it's going good, but I said last week, I said I could look at everything in my life that's gone wrong. And for the most part, 99.9% of it I could tag with a decision I made. Now, there's some things that happen to us. We get sick. Other things happen. We don't know what's really going on. All we can do is just keep fighting. But there's some things that happen that if we honestly assess ourselves and stop and say, okay, how did I get into this relationship? Okay, how did I get into this on this job? Okay, how did I get to this place? Each of these decisions, we made them, even though what? We might have made them a little bit at a time. We might say somebody forced me in it. But the reality is we yielded ourselves many times to these different things. This is why Paul calls it the armor of God. Now, what I have as a thesis for today is that we must determine to strengthen our spiritual man in order to fight and to win the fight of faith. See, folks, people will say all the time, well, you know, living a Christian life is so hard, they'll say. And you say, well, okay, I got that. But I don't know if you've ever been in a fight. Some of y'all I know have. But if you've ever been in a fight, unless you're just picking on some little kid or something, it wasn't easy. Most people that you fight, if you're fighting somebody worth fighting, let me put it that way, this is not simple. You hit them, they hit you back, or they hit you, you hit them back, and then this is a fight. We call it a fight for a reason. Paul says fight the good fight. So he's trying to make it clear it's a good fight, but it's a fight. And you got to understand that if you don't understand what you're in the midst of, it's easy to get what? Discouraged. It's easy to give up. It's easy to believe that God is not for you. Because people will look at the world and they'll say, well, look at all the stuff that's going on. Right? It's supposed to be going on. The Bible says that lawlessness is going to run rampant at the end. We ain't even at the end yet, so you can only imagine what it's going to look like. It says lawlessness is just going to run rampant. But Jesus said, will I find faith on the earth when I come? He was asking that question because people are going to be looking so much at all that's going on, it's going to be difficult for them to believe that there could be a God with all this going on. We have to strengthen our spiritual man and strengthen our resolve. Listen to what God says. I'm going to read it again to you out of Hebrews chapter 12. And look at what he says in verse 7. If you endure chastening, that means then that what? There's going to be a season then that what? God is going to be doing something. You could take that screen off that. Yes. That's going to be doing something. God's going to be doing something that you're going to have to put up with for a while. You may not like it. But the point is, there could be something. See, this is how you have to see God. God says, like, just like a parent. I think about it today. My parents are both passed now, and I'm 61 this in August. And I think about how when I was younger, that I just didn't think they understood or knew what they was talking about. But today, oh, I fully understand, or I'll say I understand enough to realize why they looked at me like I was crazy when I would tell them things I was about to do. And they would be like, really? That's what you're going to do? My mama was much more vocal about how she felt about what I was doing versus my dad, okay? He figured, I guess, in time I'd figure it out. But now I look at it and realize that was crazy. When I look at kids now and say, oh, they're only 25. They only 25. Right? Well, when I was 25, I think about what happened, and I realize that no wonder my mama was saying what she was saying to me at 25. You about to do what? And I was like, oh, no, I got it, though. I got it. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And I'm like, oh, you don't know what you're doing, son. What you're about to get yourself into is not good. But guess what? As their kid, there's only so much that they could do. God, on the other hand, we see plainly, we see that in verse 7, God says, if you endure chastening. See, some of us can't endure. You know, parents start getting you, and, you know, we about to dope. I'm leaving. I'm gone. I ain't putting up with this. And we don't put up with the chastening. See, the chastening, I remember my youngest son, Joseph, he left home at 16. Today, he's much at almost 40 now. People say, man, when they hear him talk about me and stuff like that, man, he love you, boy. He talk about you. I know. Yeah, after he left at 16, you know, he went through all kind of stuff and got to realize, I guess it wasn't so bad staying over there with dad. You know, I tried to tell him there was a lot out there, son, you wasn't going to be looking for. And he went through a lot. But he got through it. God kept him, and he got through it. But the reality is he wasn't able to endure the chastening. You know, he was having trouble in school, and he had a little girlfriend, and he won't get on the phone. I'd make him get off, and, oh, no. Now, today he won't blame it on her, y'all. I told him, don't do that. We were out talking one day, said, yeah, she made me leave. No, see, don't do it. She didn't make you leave, son. You left. You know you left. Well, she was encouraging me. Right, but you know you wanted to go. You know you wanted to go. It was a good, you just, so let her go. Let her be free. But you didn't want to endure the chasing. Now, I recognize that I could have done it differently, all right, because at that time, I was much younger, and I probably was not paying attention to the scriptures that say, you know, how to handle your kids, right? Because I told him to get off the phone, and he got up, and, you know, he got off the phone, and then the next day I come, he was on the phone again, and I said, didn't I tell you not to be on the phone? He said, well, you told me, he stood up, he had it, so you told me not to be on your phone. So he must have bought a phone. I said, so what is that? I bought a phone. And then when he stood up like this, it was too late. You know, I didn't know what he was about to do, so I just got him. Ooh! When I hit him, he flew across the bed, onto the other side. And I was like, what? Nothing. So I took him to school, and after that he decided, there's too much chasing going on up in here. We ain't doing it like this. And that probably was not the Jesus way to handle that. I recognize that now. But, you know, I mean, we're all growing, right? So we go through these things. Well, God is saying if you can endure chastening, he's dealing with you like a son. But he's putting you through it for a reason. See, I was trying to put pressure on him because, son, you cannot graduate if you keep getting D's and stuff. And if you get them in these classes and they let you go, you're not going to learn anything, and there's no way you're going to be able to do certain things with your life. That's what I'm doing. I mean, I could wait till you're 18 and literally kick you out, and no one can do me nothing. They could talk about me, but legally, you're required to take care of yourself at that point in time. So I could take you, and unlike the guy I said last week who threw the dog off the thing, I could take you outside and leave you there. Give you your clothes. And everybody could say, oh, he's such a harsh father, but I would have that right. But I don't want to do that. You're my son. I'm trying to train you up. I want you to do well. Well, that's what God says to us. But then God goes on with greater emphasis, and he says this. He says in verse 9, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. In other words, he's saying, part of the reason you did that, though, Pastor, I know you want him to do well, but you also don't want to get the report back. Did you hear about your child? Yeah, Yeah, no, man, nobody wants that report, especially if they got your name. Now, my youngest son, you know, he's Joseph, so I might be able to get away with that one. But Roderick Jr., what you gonna do with that? They got your name. So you want them to do okay, whatever that means. Just at least do what's okay. But God said, y'all doing that for you. You're not doing that because you really want your son to be okay. You're doing it because you're trying to protect your name. My mom, you say that all the time. Don't y'all go up there and embarrass your daddy. And I was like, is that all you care about? Yeah, basically. It didn't matter what you had to do. Just shut your mouth. Don't say nothing. It didn't matter what people was doing to you. They wrong. Just be quiet. Don't embarrass your daddy, she would say all the time. But doing it, why? For their pleasure. God says he's not doing none of this. All this stuff going on in your life ain't got nothing to do with him. God says, I am doing this so you can partake of my holiness, so that you can be like me. Now, some people say, I don't want to be like you. They might feel that way, but they don't realize what they're subjecting themselves to. See, last week we made it clear. There's a kingdom of darkness, and in that kingdom, there are principalities, powers, rulers of this world, spiritual wickedness, we said in high places. Literally, there's a distinction between demons. Some people don't understand this thing. There are demons. And then there are other spirits, angels, different levels and types of angels, some that have fallen and that have these types of ruling areas and things that they do. But God says that we're not subject to them. When people wonder why you see people do such hateful, heinous types of crimes, and notice that the crimes, it just depends. There's some crimes that are specifically targeted at children. Some crimes specifically targeted at women. Some crimes specifically targeted that deal with lots of blood and gore and crazy. All of this stuff is tied to the character of these demons. Okay? And that's why you see certain manifesting things. That some people are like, man, I would never do nothing like that. Now, they don't murder a bunch of people. But they would never do that. Why? Because that spirit doesn't control their life. Now, God is saying for us, we need to understand something. If you don't want to have a spirit controlling your life, you have to come into the kingdom of God and allow God then to what? Chasten you. Because otherwise, people will say, well, as a Christian, I don't think the devil can control me. That's a lie. The Bible says in many places what we do, and I'm going to show it to you now. And I want to go to Romans chapter 6 right quick, and I want to show you something. In Romans chapter 6, I mean, we got to fight, the Bible says. This is a fight you in. You can't just think you just walking around and everything is going, it's just okay. This is a fight, and you have to realize it. You have to say to yourself every day you get up, I am warring against principalities and powers. Not fighting them physically. But how, if Eve had been on the guard, she would have realized when she went in the garden, there is a serpent out here trying to trick you. If she'd have just been on her guard, if she'd have understood, don't listen to him. What he's saying ain't right. But he kept messing with her head. You want to be like God? God knows the day you do this, you're going to be this. Listen to it when it's your children. How you think your children end up out the house? Your mom and them, they don't know what's going on. That's why today kids are all confused in school. They go to teacher teaching them all kind of stuff, and they go home confused. Why? Because they hearing one thing from you maybe, something else from their friends, something else from the teachers. What's the truth? But they got to be guarded against that. And the way we're guarded against it starts off first is by doing what? Taking a position of this armor and then strengthening our resolve. In other words, if you decide today, all right, it's just like Andrea. She's going to Midland, Michigan. Now, there's several ways you could get to Midland. But there's one direct way that's probably faster if you're driving. Now, the Bible says, if you're going to heaven, seek those things which are above where the Lord is. Now, if we all understand this, now, if you don't, see me after church. You're not getting out of here alive. You're not. I have seen it. I told my wife the other day, you can see how it's going. It was me, her, dad, mom, Uncle Joe, her mom. My mom went first. Then it was me, her, Joe, her mom, my dad. and we had a candle for my mother. Then my dad went. Then Joe went. So now it's me, her, and her mom, and three candles. Well, if it all goes like we're supposed to, she'll be the last one standing, since she's younger than me. Her mom, then me. Don't nobody else get to come. I knew y'all get that. All right. Nobody else have no seats around here. And then she will be going. But we can see it. You know, no matter how much we hold on to it, no matter how much we want it not to be, it is. Some it takes a little few more years, but for the most part, this is the way we go. Well, since we know this is what's happening, the question now is, if we want to believe that there's nothing after that, then that's simple. That's easy. But we've chosen as Christians to believe that, no, now we step into the next life. Well, if that's the case, what do the directions say? How do I get to Midland from here? How do I make sure I'm getting off at each appropriate exit so that I don't miss it and have to turn around like some people do? They go past, and now you got 5 years. Y'all been on some of them interstates where, you know, you pass it and they say next exit 5 miles. You can't go. And then some people, you see them, they try to go across the median. What happened? Get stuck. Now everybody passing by going, what, how they got out there? Because they decide instead of taking the right exit, they're going to try to go across there. When it say don't go, it's muddy and all that. Now, some of them got a pretty good truck. They get all through it and they feeling good about themselves, but they know they done tore all the median up, wasn't supposed to be down there, and they finally get on the other side. But the reality is that's just not, you missed the exit. You got to learn to be patient then to do what now? To get to the next one. But God's like, look, I got one right here for you. So he says, train up a child when they're young, so when they're old, they won't depart. But now if you don't train them up while they're young, then what they do, what are they using? Think about it. If I right now today, she say to me, I'm going to Midland. I say, how you getting there? Well, Pastor, I'm going to get in my car, and however I feel, I'm just going to do it. I'm living my truth on my way to Midland. I say, I know, but do you have a map? Maybe like a one of those little, what they call them? Yeah, navigator. You know, navigation system. You got one of them? Something? Oh, no, I'm good. What do you mean you good? Well, I just go by how I feel. If I'm feeling it, you know, as I'm driving along, if I feel this road, I'll take it. If I ain't feeling it, I'm not. People live life like this. Well, I tell you, how you know you're going to heaven? Well, you know, look, everybody got their idea of God. I mean, you know, and you know, I mean, I'm going to let nobody just tell me what they think. I'm just going to live this out. Okay, well, how you going to do that? Well, I mean, you know, hey, I just feel it and I go with it. I go with my heart. I've learned to trust my heart. Okay. Who told you that? All these little things, these little cliches that people use that somebody told them that are nowhere proven to be true. All right. You're not going to go. See, if I said that to y'all, y'all looking at me like that's silly. Well, it is. To go to Midland, you're going to go to Atlanta. You want to go to Dallas, and I ask you, how, do you have some directions? Oh, no, I'm just going to get in my car and drive where I feel like it. I ain't going to have nobody telling me how to go to Dallas. I'm going the way I want to go. Well, don't you think it done took too long? It don't take but 8 hours. You've been out there 12. Look, don't tell me. Everybody got to go their own path of life. Right, but you know, you're trying to get to Dallas. Don't you want to get there as quickly as possible? Look, don't be getting down on me. Everybody just don't have the same aptitude. It ain't about aptitude. That road right there, you don't need to have gone to fifth grade. Just get on the road. I saw a man this morning walking down the street. He's a homeless fella, and he was going along, and I looked at him. I said, Lord, you know the amazing thing about that? Is the Bible says in James that he, if he knows you, he can be excited that he has been exalted. And that us who are driving around our cars and doing well should be excited that we have been made low. See, because in understanding we've been made low, we humble ourselves enough to allow God to forgive us. See, when people are like really low, it's easy to convince them they low. You ain't got to tell a man that ain't got nothing, he ain't got nothing. You know you ain't got nothing, really. Tell me the obvious. Versus the people who are doing so well in the world, they believe that what? They don't need God. Look how well I'm doing. God says the rich should exalt, rejoice that he's been made low. Because by being made low, somewhere God did something in your mind for you to recognize that all the stuff you got, everything you're doing, has absolutely nothing to do with what you think is your brilliance. It's really about God. For whatever God's reason, God has extended his grace to you enough for you to see the crazy. Because all the other people who don't see it, it ain't because they so don't see it. It's because their grace has not extended to open their eyes. And many times people will say, well, then why won't God do it? Now, see, I don't take that class. God said the secret things belong to him. And the Lord said in one place, he is the one who extends mercy to whom he wants to extend mercy. So you just be happy you see. And let him worry about the rest of it. Now, like Sister Miranda said this morning, if God puts something in your mouth, you speak it, you say it, you do what needs to be done. But one place we see in Romans, God makes it clear that we can be partakers of this thing going on out there because of our refusal to recognize what's going on. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 12. Beginning at verse 6. And we're going to read verse 6 through 23. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, these are directions. Now, you're a Christian now. You're a Christian. And here's some directions that are coming to you. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 6. We're just going to read it. It's a letter to us, right? Beginning verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof now you are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Strengthening my resolve. What you saying, Pastor? Well, just listen to what Paul says. Paul says the way we're on our way to heaven. I don't know if y'all are driven in any of these roundabouts. Most people don't really like them too much. First time I ever rode in one was in Jamaica. And then when I came back here, I started finding them. The roundabouts, the reason they're so dangerous, because most people don't understand them. So they get in there, and don't nobody know what yield mean. You know, they got a yield sign. That means you let them go. If somebody coming, I don't understand. Don't matter. Your sign say yield. That means if anything coming, just yield. Don't try to get in there, just yield. If everybody would do what they signs say and go when it's clear, it'd be easy. Instead, people approach it going, man, what is this? What is this thing? And then they see everybody going and they're like, I've never seen anything like this before. And then before you know it, they're trying to figure like it's jump rope or something. And it's like, no, just concentrate on yield. Yield means to give way to. So Paul says, don't yield yourself to sin. See, sin comes along and you got something to do with this. God is saying believers who believe, that's why I changed it today to I will believe and confess. Those who believe understand. You have been empowered with the Holy Ghost. God, Jesus died. He rose from the dead. And the Bible says he was justified and he became the baptizer of us in the Holy Spirit. So we got saved and God gave us his Spirit. Now the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. So when sin comes to me like it used to and say, hey, I would just go because I ain't had no power. I just went. I might have liked it even, but I didn't have no power even if I didn't want to do it. I just found myself going. But God says that now that the Spirit of God has dwelled in me, Jesus died. He rose from the dead. He says you rose with him. Now live like it. You have the Spirit of God in you. When sin walks up to you like it used to, you're supposed to say, you ain't my master no more. He says, don't you know to whom you yield yourself to, that's whose servant you are. See, my wife can say all she wants. You know, you my man, you my man. But if somebody knock on my door and she leave with him, I'm your man, you left with him. Well, you ain't got to worry. You won't be leaving but one time, right? At least at my house, my address. Can't tell y'all what to do. Just telling you. It means something when somebody says, this is your master, that's your master. You yield. I was having a conversation with somebody once. Does it not important who? And they said that somebody invited them more or less to a party. Limousine pulls up, they open the door, and they ain't gonna describe what was going on inside the limo. But they say they heard God say, if you get in that limo, your life will never be the same. You think? That's a moment. That's a moment. See, you gotta make a decision. Do you get in here or do you not? See, if you get in, you yield into that. Don't be tired. The devil pushed me in the car. That devil ain't push you in there. He was, them spirits was everywhere. Oh, look at that. Look at that, look at that, look at that. And there may be humans around going, hey. But still, ain't no hands on you. Now, if somebody take a gun and push you into something, okay, fine. But no, you standing there free. Now, it's a fight. But you got to make a decision. You know what you heard. Matter of fact, if you didn't hear nothing, ain't nowhere in this Bible that if I describe what was going on in the cup, that you would say, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, get in the car. Unless you finna say, well, I thought the Lord wanted me to minister to these people. Yeah, sure he did. We know, but what we see, that ain't God. So we do what? Listen, let's get out of here. We can't yield. You can't yield. If you yield, this is why they have the accidents in the roundabout. I'm not supposed to yield. I see you trying to get in, but you got the sign say yield. I'm supposed to drive. So I keep driving. See, when the devil show up, I'm not yielding to you. But y'all got to understand something. See, people keep thinking, they say, well, you know, a man going to be a man. Exactly. That's why he need the Holy Ghost. He need to get the Holy Spirit and understand the word. That's why Paul said, I need you to arm yourself in the armor. I need you to put the armor on. He said, because you need to know the truth. He says, put on truth. Have some truth and then get some righteousness. Well, I used to be that way. I don't care. You ain't that way no more. Know that God has delivered you. You got to say this to yourself. I want you to see something in the book of James. Look at what James says. See, this James will break it down for you plain and simple. You know, we could. Yeah, that's why, you know, you read the directions. I've had things happen with stuff I bought. And when I go back and read directions, I'll be like, no wonder that happened. People say, do not open this until you take this pen out. I don't open the thing up. And then I'm trying to figure out, you know, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? And it's usually not until I've frustrated myself till I can't figure it out that I'll go look at it. Then I'm like, oh, man, I done ruined this thing already. Because they say, don't peel this off. Once you peel this off, you know. Now, at least I don't have a problem with just saying. My wife laughs all the time. That was just, you just stupid. You are stupid. I don't say that to anybody. I just be talking about me. I just go look at me and say, now that was stupid. You know that was stupid. That was so stupid. Stupid ain't stupid. How many times you got to mess stuff up before you finally realize, read the directions. So now I got three books on my desk right now, which is why I know that's why I don't like to read directions. That's why nobody won't do it, because it takes too long. I want to use the thing. I got three books. We got a dishwasher, brand new dishwasher. You think we ready? Come on now, it ain't nothing but a dishwasher. I ain't gonna talk about this, Lord, but I know I ain't ready. Come on, it ain't but a dishwasher. All you gotta do is what? Put the dish in, close it, hit the button, right? But that ain't what they tell you. Because I was trying to do something and the thing just wasn't. But there was other buttons I was supposed to be doing. And the smarter these things get, supposedly, the more you gotta read the directions. So the directions tell us don't yield. Look at what James says. James said, I'm gonna tell you exactly what your problem is. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures, that is again, temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. Let no man say, what man? Say that again, what man? So any man you meet that tell you different than this, tell him he a lie. So we ain't gonna let no man tell us this. When I am tempted, he tempted a God. Well, you know, the Lord might be. Lord ain't doing nothing. Stop lying on your father. He ain't doing that. Well, you know, God, sometimes he does. Stop lying on God. You can't speak for God. I know I can't. He speak for himself. That's why he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. Here's your answer. But every man, what man? Every man, what man? Every man, that means women too now, because man means everybody. Every person is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Oh, I ain't got no lust. I ain't got no lust. Stop lying. Now, I ain't say you was nasty. See, everybody, you say lust, people are like, I ain't got no lust. I ain't got no lust. Lust is just inordinate desire. You have a desire for something more so than what's ordinary. That's all it means. But it says every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, if you don't say this don't apply to you, then that means that you'd be better than Jesus. The Bible says the devil tempted Jesus. He tempted him. He just didn't sin, unlike us. Yeah, see, we get tempted, and the Bible says we're drawn away of our own lust. So if I get involved with another woman and I have a wife, when it's all over, if that happens with me and Sister Lord, don't let me come up here lying, talking about y'all look, I'm just a man. I mean, I am a man, but you know, come on, Pastor, really. The devil didn't make you do it. Whatever it was about this individual, there was something that enticed you. There's something that you wanted, something you desired, you got enticed, and instead of you taking a step back from it, and you yielded to it. And when you yield, he tell you what happened next. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't let anybody lie to you, he says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All right, so in other words, he says, look, it's easy. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. Now, most people see, this is why we tell people today, they get all hung up on talking about, well, like they got a new Bible out. I don't know how new it is, but it's called the Queen James Bible. And it was written by some people that are not, well, it's a homosexual Bible. And in it, what they basically do is everywhere where those types of relationships come up, they tie it to idolatry, you know. So in other words, they say that they're not going to try to write this out of the scriptures. They're just writing the scriptures correctly. And that is that the people were doing these things, but they were doing them in the temples of the idols. So in other words, it's all right to do them as long as you ain't doing it in the temple of the idol. I'm like, oh, okay. That'd be like me saying to Sister Lori. Now, come on now. I went to the Hyde Regency. It ain't like we was at our house. So what you saying, Pastor, is that it's okay for you to have a relationship with another woman as long as it wasn't at your home? You took her to the Hyde Regency. And some kind of way that makes it better. That's what y'all saying. So they was doing that in the temple of Molech. So you won't bring it to the temple of God. That make it better? You think that's what God, why God got a problem with that? No, you can't change up the word to make it say what you want it to say. You see, you have to go with what the word says. That's what protects you. That's why it's called the armor. See, the devil can't come and put his hand on you. He can try through other people. But normally that's not what he's doing. Remember what we said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to what? Pulling down strongholds and arguments. So if I'm sitting there arguing with you, trying to tell y'all this is why it's so, y'all supposed to pull the word back out and say, Pastor, I look, I respect you and everything, but you got to understand, this is what it says. In verse 14, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, if I can accept this, then it means that now what I can do is every time something comes in my direction, I become responsible. I now say, you know what? If I let this happen, it is because I am choosing this over Jesus. That's what's happening. I refuse to believe the word that says the Spirit of God has empowered me in such a way that I can get out. Oh, no, 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 he hasn't. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus in heaven. And I can't do anything about what's happening to me right now. I just got to yield to the devil and to my own sin. I just got to yield. I don't have any choice. I have no choice. That's not true. This is why Paul calls it the armor of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. How does he try to trick you? Making up stuff, telling you stuff that ain't true. You can't help yourself. You can't this, you can't that. When the reality is, the word tells you plainly, fight the good fight of faith. What does it look like? Well, what it looks like is when it doesn't look like I can stand, I know I can. It might be hard. But I got to stand. See, some people don't understand this now. In one place, the Bible even says, like, when it comes to things like fornication, the Bible says flee. In other words, the Bible don't say, yeah, stand up to it. I had a man tell me that one time. Man, you're supposed to be so full of God that a woman could walk in here and she ain't even got her clothes on and you just look at her. I say, that's the devil talking. The Bible says flee. Fornicate, you supposed to be running. Now, why would God tell you to run from something if you supposed to be standing there and then come in? Because that's a lie, because he know the longer you stand there, the weaker you going to get. And by the time you weak to you're on your knees, now it's too late. Then you're going to be making all kinds of excuses for why it happened. Oh, God must have been trying to show me by myself. I wasn't ready yet. Yeah, you wasn't ready, all right. Instead of just doing the word, just do the word. It's hard, I know, but we got to fight. It's a fight now. See, you got to start saying, you know what? I'm tired of this devil. I am tired of this devil messing with my head, lying to me, saying things to me that ain't true, trying to get me to believe, trying to get me to walk in my own mind, my own thoughts, my own ideas. Because to the extent I do that, I cast aside the word. I cast it over here, and I'm without headlights. I mean, the Bible says the word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Yeah, I mean, you see, if this is the light to my path and I don't have it, well, you ain't seeing nothing. That's why Jesus said we walk in the dark and we stumble. Because we're stumbling over what? We are not crafty enough to argue with the devil, y'all. I'm telling you, if he gets you out this word and get you over there on his territory, he'll outthink you every time. He always got an argument. He's got something he's going to say that when it's over, going to convince you that what it is you know God said don't do, some kind of way it must be all right. Or don't apply to you, or whatever the case might be. The bottom line is I got to strengthen my resolve that, look, devil, no matter what, you're not going to win this fight. Now, sometimes the reason I got to go through is because God knows my propensities. But he does. God knows what I like, don't like. God knows what's important to me and what's not. So he's always what? Allowing me to deal with the enemy. And sometimes God will allow things to happen because those things chasing you. People say, well, if God, he loved you, why he let that happen? Okay. Would you rather, William and I were talking about something on Wednesday, I think it was. And he said, you can't fake that. Folks, you can talk faith all we want. We can say we love Jesus. We can say we got the Holy Ghost. We can do all of that. But it ain't until we get tested that we really know what we made of. It's not until the test comes to us that we come to find out we either believe the word or we don't. It's easy to say, God will hear you anything when you ain't got nothing. It's easy to say, God will do this when ain't nothing happening in your life. It's not until the pressure get on you that now you get tested in your resolve to see whether or not you believe what's happening. You know, when God told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations, the Bible says Abraham believed God, and he received the sign of circumcision, and then had to wait 25 years. Now, think about it. For most of us, that's it. I was talking about somebody the other day, and they were talking about, well, you know, in the latter half of life, you know, you want to try. I say, look, the person like right there with me almost at 60. I say, look, I hate to bust your bubble, but statistically, you know, people live to 85, 90. Even if you live 100, 50 is the middle of life. I ain't trying to bust your bubble or nothing, but you pass hell. Don't be trying to ruin my faith. Well, then we need to kick it up. Because that means, you know, if we get half, then we got to go to 120 because I'm 60, you 60. So we got to do 120. Are y'all listening to me? See, in other words, stop just throwing stuff out your mouth. Well, you know, when you get past half your life, when you get to the last half of your life, you passed the last half back there somewhere. Where'd you get that? That ain't in the Bible. It's not when you get past the last half that you're supposed to do this, this, or the other. None of that. No, God said, look, from the beginning, if you train them up while they're young, when you're old, you won't depart. See, we got to find things. Stop being cliquish and cliche-ish. Don't nobody care about all that. We want truth. You can't fight the devil with all that stuff. You need truth. The truth is, you've been born again. Jesus rose from the dead and is in heaven. And not one demon or devil is in charge of anything that Jesus is running, which is the whole world. Well, they sure look like they're in charge. That's because Jesus allows them to do what devils do, manipulate humans. They need to do that right now. Why? Because nobody wants to believe anyway. So God's got to let mankind run its course. Don't you understand that? Why they don't get it? I don't know why God ain't showed it all to them. The Bible says their eyes can be blinded to the gospel. But the bottom line is, when it finally is over, it will be over. It started with Eve in the garden believing that what? It was easy. Now ladies, think about this. I'm gonna give y'all something to think about. And this is not sexist. I'm just asking you a question. Think about this now. I've heard people say this. Well, if I was Eve, I wouldn't have done that. Okay, good. Now tell me why you would not have done it. Would you have not done it because the devil, you'd have looked at him and said, I know you. You're trying to trick me. And okay, good. Well, that means that Eve, being perfect, got tricked. Now, I don't know how. I ain't saying none of y'all ain't perfect. Especially this Lord. Perfect. Oh, we all perfect, right? Well, we know we wouldn't have done that. Well, how y'all know y'all wouldn't have done it? This woman ain't never, the woman ain't, she perfect. God made her from the beginning. She perfect. The devil tricked her. How does he do this? Because apart from God's word, he manipulates the minds of people. I don't know how he does it. I don't know. know how he's able to do it. I don't know what's enticing to us about being like God. God knows this gonna happen. Whatever he was saying that caused her to get off of the word. What word? Do not touch that tree. That's it. That's all I know. They said, that all you know? Listen, I was listening to somebody the other day talking about women. They were so upset that women are staying at home with their children, doing all this stuff. Women need to be told that ain't their place. They can do whatever they want to do. And I ain't saying you can't. But somebody got to help the cheering out. And y'all know if we stay home, it don't go quite right like it's supposed to. But you know, I ain't telling you what to do. I'm just saying. But you can't say that all them women that want to do that are wrong. But that's what they're saying. We need to reshape their minds. You don't need to reshape nothing. The bottom line is that's exactly what the devil did. Who told her that? Adam. Well, Adam the one said God said it. How we know he heard from God, right? So maybe that's what the devil said. Who told you that? Well, that's what Adam said. We don't know the whole conversation. All we know when she got through, she did what God told Adam not to have happen. All right, so let's get off the ladies for a minute. They say, well, okay, fine, y'all feeling good. What about the man? Yeah, you was there.
Well, if I was Adam, I would have just told her.
Told her what? What would you have told her?
I'm not doing that.
Well, then where's she going? What's supposed to happen? I just wasn't going to tell her. Oh, okay, well, I got it. And so when you told her you ain't going to go, then what's she going to say? Now, let's remember now, this is a married couple now. I mean, what's supposed to happen? She ate the fruit. She handed Adam. Adam said, go what you did. Now what he supposed to do?
What would you do?
Because, you know, you big baller, you know, you got all this stuff. Well, I would just tell her. Tell her what? What are you going to tell her? Okay, look, point is, ain't none of us got out of this clean. Man, for whatever his reasons, messed it all up, and it is running its course. And God's going to let us out. That's why we fight all the time. I'm telling you, the Bible says it. God's like, look, this is y'all's curse. She doing it. You fussing. Y'all go back and forward. She doing it. You fussing. Y'all go back and forward. That's what happens. That's part of your curse. Look at the earth now. Why are we arguing about whether or not Kevin, okay, can play girls basketball? No, let's not use Kevin. William. William, stand up. Come here, William. Come up here, William. Come on now. Come quickly. See, William didn't know he was going to be a prop. William is joining the girls basketball team next week. Now, folks, I'm sorry, but I mean, there might be some of y'all he gonna play on the girls' basketball team. This the new center on the girls' basketball team. You see how y'all laughing? Now, some they gonna want to ban me off YouTube, all that. But the point is, that's not right. We shouldn't have to debate this. We shouldn't have to argue this. Why are we having this conversation even? Because the adversary feels very comfortable that he can appeal to our minds. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah, he can appeal to our minds. So now you see on the application, male, female, non-binary. What? What does that mean? Jesus said it. In the beginning, God created them male, female. Therefore, I'm not debating. I don't want to get into it with you. I don't want to talk to you about that. I don't care. Cut me off. Send me down the road. I'm going with the word. The word is telling me that principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, messing with your head. Put on the armor of God, truth, the word, and stand so when the evil day comes, you can stand. Because you're going to get to heaven, and when you tell God that craziness, he's going to look at you and say, just like he told Eve, get out the garden. He's not going to tolerate it. People say, oh, well, Pastor, that's because you prejudiced. I ain't prejudiced. I don't care. I got a wife. It don't mean nothing to me except when I go read what Jesus said.
I'm not trying. I don't care about any of that like that. I really don't care. I care for, you know, just true, but I'm just saying. Some stuff that you just used to know. How you going to sit there and tell me? A man testified the other day in front of Congress. Men can get pregnant. Okay, whatever. Somebody said the other day, they got some kind of baby formula shortage. I said, well, it just depends on what you choose to feed your baby with. I'm going to leave it there. Because God fixed it up now. Yeah, you got a real problem. You got a real shortage. God fixed it up now. I mean, if you had that baby, God, trust me, God ain't let you have a baby that you couldn't feed. And I'm sorry, but the man can't do that. Now, he just can't. I mean, I'm just saying, but I don't care about all that. I'm trying to strengthen your resolve to say I'm not going to yield to things. Now, the Bible is clear. You can yield if you want to, but you got to understand that's what you're doing. See, if as a Christian, if I can look at this and say, you know what? The Bible says that anytime I'm tempted, I'm being tempted of my own lust. All right, so let's say, for instance, I used to do drugs, let's say. Let's say I did drugs at one time. And now I go somewhere and I'm feeling like I'm going to do it. The question is, what causes that? Now, there could be some things that are what? Twofold. Some things could be physical, so that I'm addicted to something. So it's a chemical thing that needs to be broken. But let's say that's not what's going on. We're not talking about a chemical addiction. We're just talking about I'm being tempted. God is saying, look, this is a decision you have to make. Yeah, he says, you got to make it. The devil is not standing there, even though somebody might be trying to tempt you. But he's not gonna, he can't make you, just like he couldn't shove that fruit into Eve's mouth. She had to take it herself. So he had to keep talking, keep saying stuff, try to get her to yield. This is why when you get sick, let me use this, let me be a better example. This is why when you get sick with something, what you're supposed to do is go to the Bible and you can read, it says there's only one place where God talks about this. He says in communion, he says that what, if we eat or drink unworthy, we can eat and drink damnation to ourselves. That's why we're weak, sick, and some die. All right, that's the only place in the New Testament where you find God saying he chastens us like that. Now, if I have done an analysis of my own self and I'm comfortable, I ain't had no sin, and you know if you are or not. Now, I didn't say you ain't did no sin. Y'all heard me, right? You had sin. You done something sinful, and you convinced it's still okay. That's a dangerous place to be. So if I've committed a sin, I acknowledge it. I ask God to forgive me, and my righteousness, I put it on as the armor of God, and I walk in it. I don't care who tells me what I did. I don't care because I have the righteousness of God. Now then, what I do is I stand on the word. Nowhere do I see in the word where God says that sickness ought to just kill me out. So I'm going to stand on this word. Now I go to the doctor and they say, ooh, it's worse than we thought. Then you're supposed to say, whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe God's report? Or are you going to believe what the doctor's saying? People say, well, I believe the doctor. Well, then, okay. He didn't write no Bible that I know of. But if you're going to believe the doctor, you do realize why that would be very difficult to come out of something if the doctor says you ain't got no chance. Yeah, the doctor said you ain't got a chance. You're supposed to say, whoa, stop, doc. You know, God is the one. Jesus said, I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Jesus said that. Now, unless you're telling me Jesus told you, then I'm not listening to nothing coming out your mouth right now. I got to stand. See, it's the only way I can quit myself and stand so that when my head is hurting, my body is pounding, and things are happening, and the devil's speaking to me just like he did to Eve in the garden, you might as well get off that word because that ain't true. You might as well forget it. You going to meet Jesus now. You might as well this. You finna get your wings. You know, all this stuff that I got to push back and say, the Bible says I can come to my grave in long years. The Bible says that if I honored my father and my mother, it's the first commandment with promise that it might go well with me. You say, well, I ain't treat my mama right. Then repent. That's all you got to do. Don't let the devil ride you to an early grave. Now, you better say you sorry. My mama gone. Well, just say you're sorry. Repent. You can't repent to her. Repent. God, I accept your word as true. And that part of what's happening maybe in my life is the fact that I disrespected my mother, I disrespected my father, but I repent because I recognize now that that wasn't right. And move on. That's all you can do. But you got to stand now, because if you don't, I'm telling you, just like he got Adam and them kicked out of God, or the devil will get you taken out of here. Because if all I got to do is that you got sickness on you, and all I got to do is keep convincing you. Now, the other day, and I'm going to close with this. The other day, I was talking to Chapman. They had this young lady over in the, I think it was Dallas Arena. She went to the restroom or something, and she didn't come back. And somebody took her away, and she was in sex trafficking for, I don't know, 10 days, something like that, till they finally found the person. Now, you got to ask yourself the question, which is what I was asking him. How can somebody walk you out of a crowded arena? Your dad's there. That's why you just let her go to the bathroom. Because what? Like yesterday, we in the bowling alley. Okay, so if a kid might say, I need to go to the restroom, most of us would have said, yeah, go ahead. We tend to try to watch. But let's say you say, okay, go ahead. They go to the restroom and never come back. Now, the question is, how would somebody just walk that kid out of there? See, folks, you got to understand, if you don't train your kids to do nothing but to holler, you need to teach them how to holler. Because ain't no way you're supposed to walk out of there with all them thousands and thousands and thousands of people and nobody know nothing. They should have said, yeah, we saw that girl kicking and screaming and hollering. You ain't do nothing. See, usually when people see that, something is going to happen. And typically the person who's trying to do something runs off. They're not going to do that. Either they might say, look, I tell you, say something, I'll blow your head off. In here, with all these thousands of people, you're going to shoot me. That's what your kid is supposed to say. See, with the devil, he going to intimidate you. He going to try to get you to walk past every scripture in that Bible. God say he love you. Don't matter. I guess I'm going to die. God say he healed you. Don't matter. I guess I'm going to get it. God said this. I guess it's just the way it is. Why? Stand up. Get your resolve and plant your feet. Look at what God said, and I promise you I'm done. This is what he said in Hebrews. I'm going to read it to you one more time. Now, this is coming from God. In verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 12, look at what he says. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Y'all know what that means? Y'all know people like that? They say you can tell when people are depressed. They walk around like this. How you doing today? This is the depressed look. Hey, Pastor. What's wrong with you? Well, you know, the devil, you know, he's busy. What's wrong with you? Pastor, I'm just saying. A lot of stuff out there. Inflation is ravaging. Last time I filled my car up, cost so much. Then the baby ain't got no formula. And it's just crisis and everything. Life just so hard, pal. Lift up the hands which hang down and your feeble knees. And look at what he says in the next verse. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out the way, but rather let it be healed. In other words, God said, look, he like the football coach. Get up, boy. I can't go no more, coach. Well, if you can't go, get out. And if your mama there, she's like, I can't believe he did that with my baby. Now, if they're not about to die, they need to get up. I remember they used to make us run, lap after lap after lap. The best athletes practice over and over and over and over and over. They practice until practice is the game. When they get in the game, they ain't got to do it but one time. They've been doing it so much, it's just natural, whatever they do. Natural, like tying your shoes. They do it over and over. And God's like, look, I'm going to need you to understand something. This devil you're dealing with, he don't never give up. And you have to always be ready. So when he just pop up, you just spin and keep on going. Because you already know how this works. I'm not about to yield to that. I ain't going to yield to this because I already know where that's coming from. I know what I got to do. I'm going to strengthen my resolve to make my way to heaven so that ultimately not just heaven, but that I might become what James said. James says that temptation comes to make us lacking nothing. In other words, God looks at you and says, now, that's my child. Every situation he puts you in, you win. Every situation that occurs, you on top. Every time something goes on, you get the victory. Why? Because now you have proven yourself pure gold. And once that happens, oh, the devil really gets frustrated then, because everywhere you go and every time you open your mouth, you are helping somebody to come closer to the Father. Folks, that is it. Strengthen your resolve. God has victory with your name written on it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father,